You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Welcome to an incredible journey with internationally renowned lawyer of attraction, Paula Kidd Casey. Applying the skills gained over 40 years of practicing law, Paula uses facts, logic, and science to prove the validity of the Law of Attraction. Join Paula each week as she explores unique concepts, allowing you to rediscover the wisdom of the ancient masters, all while weaving in the science that proves magic really does happen. If you yearn for a life change or want to rediscover your passion, then share the path with Paula and begin to love your journey every step of the way.
Hello, this is Paula Kidd Casey. Welcome to my show, The Law of Attraction, on the Law of Attraction Radio Network. Welcome to another wonderful episode that we have today. It's the day before Thanksgiving that I am recording it. So I'm thankful for a lot of things. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for the connection that we've made. I'm thankful for the platform that I have every week so that I can get some of my best information out to you from some of the most amazing people. And I'm thankful for the fact that I have found this information, although at a later point in life, it took me years, as far as the power that flows to and through us. When we understand that we get to choose our lives, our thoughts, our emotions, which are a vibration, which puts that out to the universe and it attracts, it's magnetic to the same thing we're thinking. We are going to guard our thoughts. We are going to understand everything is going to be okay. And we are going to live the best life we possibly can. And on that note, I want to tell you about this week's guest. I found her, I saw her a couple weeks on a seminar that I was watching for about 2 or 3 days. I don't usually sit in front of a computer for 2 or 3 days. I guess I'm ADHD. I did not even realize that. It's hard for me to sit for a long time in front of a computer. Now, if I'm at a conference, it's easier and better, but those are few and far between right now. So I'm trying to get my information as best I can. And I found it was Tony Child, who's a very dear friend. In fact, I'm going to have him on in the next week or so. He was putting a seminar on as far as taking our lives to the next level. And he had a special guest star, a special guest, and she is a guest star, and her name is Hazel Ortega. I was so moved by her story, and I was so drawn by her personality that I'm literally sitting there taking notes when I'm watching her, and I knew that I wanted her on my program. And I wanted to give you a little bit of an overview about Hazel. She's from L.A., grew up in a very difficult part of L.A., very poor, in a gang community, no help from anybody. Dropped out of high school and really was not in a situation that would think that you could get to the point that she's at now. But today, she is the founder of several multi-million dollar businesses, including one of LA's top restaurants, the Nixon Chops, and Whiskey and Whittier, and the designer sensation, Savvy Socks. She has a book out. She has her master's in psychology and runs a multi-million dollar business in helping people get retrained. She has blossomed from a situation that a lot of us think is not even a possibility of being able to get out of. And it is an amazing story. And I knew when I listened to her that I wanted her on my show. And I knew that what she had to say is such an inspiration to us right now during the time that we're all going through. So I was thrilled to have Hazel agree to come on my show. So we will be right back with Hazel Ortega. And we are back with Hazel Ortega. Hazel, welcome. Thank you so much for being on my show today.
Oh, thank you, Paula. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, I found Hazel 2 or 3 weeks ago, and she just became one of my very favorite people. She is a self-made person. She owns multiple businesses in California and is really one of those people that came from understanding what scarcity means and overcoming that mindset. And I was just so happy to hear your story when I heard it on a seminar. So I want to welcome you, and I want to tell everyone to go get their paper and pencil and start writing down, because she's a fountain of information and she's so inspirational. And she's going to talk to you about miracles, mastering your miracles. But welcome, Hazel. I am thrilled you're here. Tell us your background. I'd love to hear your story, and then tell us what you do today.
Sure. Well, I grew up in downtown Los Angeles in a 800 square foot apartment with five sisters, a stepfather, and my mom. So seven of us and only one bathroom.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, that was terrible. And in the neighborhood that I grew up in, because we were poor, we had the regular problems that most neighborhoods like that tend to have, which is gang related crime, drugs, teen pregnancy, violence, and domestic violence. So not only was it happening outside in the streets, but it was also happening inside our own homes.
Yes.
And I grew up like that up until I was about 36 years old. I had a lot of violence in my life. It all started when I was 12 years old. One of my best friends was stabbed with an ice pick by local gang members. Yeah, it was very sad. I was only 12 years old myself. And we really didn't understand the value of life, which is the sad part, looking back, that no one gave us any therapy. We didn't go to the services, funeral. It was almost like, okay, you know, who's next? It was affected. Yeah. And I was too young to feel that way. Right. And then when I was 19, my cousin was killed in a drive-by shooting. And then at 21, my mother killed her boyfriend in a domestic violence. Yeah. And she was pregnant at the time. So she didn't go to jail. She didn't turn herself in. She fled and wanted to raise her baby, you know, being afraid that there was a slight chance that she would go to jail. She decided not to turn herself in and was on the run for 5 years and eventually did go to prison for 12 years. And I ended up raising my two brothers who were 4 and 6 years old. Yeah. And my 9-year-old sister came to live with me. My mom didn't take her when she fled. So she came to live with me.
And how old were you during this time?
I was 21 years old.
Oh, my.
Yeah, so you have to grow up fast and figure life out, you know, on your own. Because the people that are supposed to teach you how to do that were really not my best role models.
Now, did you graduate from high school?
I did not graduate from high school. My mom married and divorced many times and had, she had lost focus on parenting and was doing drugs at the time of my youth, my adult, you know, my young adult life. And so I was able to get away with not going to school. And she wouldn't look at my grades. She wouldn't look at my attendance records. And to tell you the truth, I'd already turned 18 when I was a senior in high school. So I was an adult. And basically at that point, my mom thought that she had already completed her job as long as I was 18. So I didn't finish high school and it didn't really matter to me. Education wasn't the vehicle to get me out of my situation.
What did you think the vehicle was?
I thought working hard, earning a paycheck, that would be it. And I wasn't trying to leave my neighborhood anyway. When I moved out of my home, I moved just blocks away from my home where I grew up. I was nearby.
Because it was comfortable, right? It was something you knew.
It was comfortable and it was all I could afford.
Right, right. It's hard to get out of that vicious cycle, isn't it?
Exactly. My mom never could get out of the neighborhood. The rent was just priced low enough that she could afford it and on welfare. And then doing a little side hustle of like garage sales and flipping furniture and those types of things. That's the kind of stuff that I learned from her, the hustle of making a dollar turn into $3.
Wow.
So I stayed there in that neighborhood and I got a job as a secretary and I thought I was doing pretty good. I didn't aspire for anything else but to grow within the company that I was working for, which was.
And weren't you a legal secretary? Were you a legal secretary?
Yes, I was a legal secretary in a workers' compensation law firm.
Wow, I was a divorce attorney for 40 years.
I thought about you. I was like, oh, I attracted another lawyer into my life.
Yes, you did. There was a reason we connected because I heard your story and I went, whoa, she started out in law firm. So I was impressed with that. And you did a very good job, it sounds like.
Yeah, I was a legal secretary for 17 years. And I was very happy. As you know, that's a very good profession. And you get to help a lot.
We can talk about that. But no, it's a needed profession. And thank you for being competent in that, because that's important. But yeah, it's a good stepping stone, right?
People need lawyers. People need secretaries to be competent and to do good work.
Right.
So I was very proud of my job. I was very happy there. And I really thought I could see myself there for the rest of my life. And then all of a sudden, I became an injured worker. I started having pain in my arms, in my elbows, in my neck, and the doctor.
And you were working for a workers' comp attorney.
Very ironic. Yes.
Isn't that ironic? I don't know. Is that a law of attraction kind of thing? I don't know.
You know, and too bad for me, because it could have been an avoidable injury if I had been sitting properly at my desk.
Oh.
I was actually positioned for somebody who was shorter than me. And I'm quite tall. And when I came in and I was working at that desk, by the time I realized that I had pain, it was already too late. I had nerve damage.
And, you know, I think this is an interesting metaphor, right? You're doing small things and you don't think they're that big of a deal, right? Your hands are 2 inches farther than they should be down or something. It's a good metaphor of doing things in our lives that we think that we can't get by with it and it's no big deal, but they add to each other, right? And they make a difference down the road, because it made a difference down the road that you didn't sit right or have the right chair, right?
Absolutely. That's a very good insight. I didn't know. Every day I was making some damage there.
And we don't know what we don't know. I love that, right? We don't know what we don't know. We're making a little bit of damage. But you've got a great story because you turned it around, which is what we can all do out there, right? We can all do that.
Yeah. So I went to the doctor and the doctor told me I couldn't do my job as a legal secretary and that I should consider going back to school and getting an education. And at first I was in shock. I had fear I was going to lose my job, and I didn't see any other way of paying my bills, of taking care of my family.
You had children at this time, right?
Yeah, I had my own daughter who was 2 years old, and then I had my two brothers that I was raising, right? So I had a 2, a 4, and a 6 year old at home when this happened.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. And so I went back to school and I got my high school diploma when I was 30, and I worked 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And then I went to school from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. This is on Thursdays, and I went to school on Saturdays and Sundays. And eventually, at first, I really hated school. And then after that, I started to see success. And though I kept doing it and not quitting, and before I knew it, I was already an educational psychologist.
Wow. I love that. I love that.
Yeah, it was great.
So do you have your master's in that?
I do. I have a master's in educational psychology and a pupil personnel certificate. So
I love that.
In helping students find the appropriate school settings for their abilities and disabilities.
My daughter has her PhD in educational psychology here in Kansas. So that's also kind of a love of mine, because I know how important that is, right?
Yes, for sure. You have to be really assessed and then know what you can do, you know, go from there.
I love that. So that took you in another way. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about your continuing journey, because I love it and it's so inspirational.
Well, I became a psychologist, and it was really interesting because I was scared to leave my job, right? I finally got my master's and I was like, oh my gosh, this means I have to leave the job.
and once again, you were comfortable where you were, right? But we need to grow. You were growing into something else. How long did it take you from the time you went back to get your GED or high school certificate to when you got your master's?
It took me 6 years.
Wow, that's good though. Good for you.
Yeah. So every 2 years I got one, the first 2 years I got the associate's degree, the second I got the bachelor's, and then the last two was the master's.
That's amazing.
And I started working as an educational psychologist at a school district. So I worked with school age kids from 4 years old to 21 years old, helping them with all the kinds of things that you think are on a school campus.
Uh-huh.
From elementary to high school. And when I was in the high school, I started helping those kids that are having issues like drinking and pretending to faint and cutting and bad grades, and then boyfriends and those types of things that are happening on the school campus. And so what I realized that all these kids had in common was they were telling me that their parents don't know them. Their parents don't understand them, and they're busy and they don't listen to them. And I thought, oh my goodness, if I continue to do this job, my own kids are going to be sitting across the floor, another psychologist saying the same thing. Exactly. Because now by the time I became a psychologist, my kids were now 8, 10, and 12. So they were right there in that age where it's so important to be there. And I know I was not doing that because that job, even though I chose that profession because what I wanted was to be a mom that was home when the kids were off school. So I wanted to have the same schedule as them. I could have chosen any psychology track, but I chose school psychology so that I would have the same vacations and same schedule as the kids. And that was really important to me. I made that a priority and I made that happen. And then I was home and I did have the same schedule as them, but then I was busy and I was writing reports at home, and the kids would come up to me and want to ask a question or play around. And I'd say, no, not right now. I'm busy.
Oh, yeah.
And so then I realized, like, I can't. This is not exactly what I wanted. But I started my own business in my garage, helping injured workers use this training benefit that they're entitled to. Here in California, if you're injured on the job and your employer doesn't offer you a job back, then they are required to offer you up to $10,000 for retraining in case you want to go back to school and learn something new.
Uh-huh.
So I qualified as a counselor to do that job, and I started that job as a side hustle.
On top of working in the schools?
Exactly.
Okay, so Hazel, you're adding more things in instead of taking them off your plate, but okay.
You have to do these things because when you become a psychologist, you have a one-year non-paid internship. And I have to pay my bills. I can't say.
That's true.
Uh-huh. I figured out a way to do it. I didn't say, you know, for a lot of people, that's a deterrent. What do you mean I'm going to work for 1 year for free? Like, how am I going to pay my bills? So I thought about it. You know, growing up poor, you'd figure life out. Like, you know, what is this going to take? What is it going to take to make this happen? And that's how I think. And that's how I approach everything. I don't think that I can't do it. I think, how can I do it?
I love that. And that makes all the difference, right?
Totally makes all the difference.
That's the question that makes the difference.
And I did that. I started my business in the garage. I didn't have any money at all to invest into the business. And what I did is I asked for help. I told friends, I told potential vendors, I told people in my industry that I want what I was doing and what I needed. Before I knew it, I got a donation of 2 desks, 2 office chairs, 2 computers, even stationery and phones.
I love that. And here's the deal. If you don't ask, you're not going to get it, right? People
exactly.
think they're not going to get it. And so this is self-worth. I'm not worth it. And then they don't get it. And then it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. I love that you asked, right?
That's a big thing. So I always tell people that you must know what you need and be speaking it. You know, somebody should know when they're with you that you're starting a new business or you're thinking about starting a new business. Somebody should know that you need a loan. Somebody should know everything that's on your needs list. You should be speaking it into existence because people are in a position to help you and they will offer it. Sometimes you don't even have to ask for it. You're just saying it. And somebody's like, oh, you need a U-Haul truck to move this plant to the front of your house? I have a big truck. You can just borrow mine.
But I love that.
We don't practice that. We you know, we become islands.
Well, we think we're vulnerable if we ask, or we think they're going to say no and it's going to make us feel bad. But worst thing they can say is no. But, you know, you don't know. You put that out and maybe they think about it later on. They ask somebody else. So I love the fact that you asked. I think that's so important that people understand that.
Yeah. You know, and people don't ask because of their self-esteem, like what you said.
Right.
If somebody says no, what does that mean about me? And they get sad and disappointed. And then it reaffirms that they knew they were going to say no.
Right.
Right. And so we really
self-fulfilling prophecy, right?
That is so real.
It is so real. Yes.
Like the back of your hand, like just, you can see you manifest everything that you believe. So asking is a really huge thing for me in my space. Even right now, I ask for big things. And I ask God for big, big things.
I love that. I love that. So how long did it take you to get that new business going?
Well, almost immediately, because what I did is I was already in the industry serving workers' compensation attorneys, right? So I reached out to all of them and I said, I'm going into this area. Can you send me business? And they did. And right away, I got busy. And I found somebody that would do the work. And I told her, leave your job, come and partner with me, and I'll get all the referrals, and then you do the work. And we did that. And I was working as a psychologist, and my business partner did all the work. Eventually, we got so busy that she was calling me at my job and asking me questions and asking for support. And clients were calling and emailing, and I was looking at that during my breaks. So it was perfect timing for me to leave my job at the school district and work from home to support the growth of our business and then be there for my kids.
That's that transformation, right? And it happens a little bit at a time, but when it happens, we need to recognize it. And you need to do that quantum jump.
Yes. And it's really amazing because I had said that my biggest dream was to be home with my kids. Like, that's what I wanted to do. And I didn't plan it to be that way. The universe made it happen.
I love it. That old universe is so tricky.
Yes. And so another thing, you know, Paula, just like how we said that we need to be speaking what we need, we also need to be speaking our dreams, right? So yes. I said I wanted to be home with my kids. And then the universe arranged it so that that happened for me. If I hadn't spoken that into existence, if I hadn't even created that vision, it would have never have happened. Not the way that it did, and not as effortless and perfect.
I love it. I love it. So tell us what you've now exploded and expanded into so many other areas. So you started doing that.
Yeah. So I started doing that. And then 5 years in, I hired my first business coach. And anybody that's listening, one of the best things you could ever do is get mentors and get coaches really teach you how to scale and teach you how to navigate through, you know, spaces of businesses that you've never done before. They have tons of clients just like you, but you only have you. We don't know what to plan for. I didn't know about QuickBooks, marketing, budgeting, hiring. I didn't know anything. As a matter of fact, I couldn't even afford a coach. What I did was I went to free sessions first.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I invested. It was $35 an hour. So imagine, that was like 16 years ago, $35 an hour. I couldn't afford it, but I made myself stretch and I did it.
You invested in yourself, right? And that's what people are doing. They're investing in themselves.
Yes, I invested in myself. And ever since I started investing in myself, I started gaining more confidence, mm-hmm. more money, more network, and more net worth, really, just from getting coaching. Now, I get coaching for all areas of my life that matter the most to me. So I have a relationship coach. I have a fitness trainer for my health.
Wow.
A money coach.
Woohoo!
Yeah, personal development coaching and, you know, personal development, personal performance. I have a coach for that. And of course, my business coaches. And then I have business coaches that are specific to the businesses that I'm in. So I have a big team of coaches. And
I love that. And there's an energy, right? There's a synergy when you're doing this with other people and we don't know what we don't know. And it helps put your heads together and find someone that's actually, you know, gone down that road that knows how to, you know, get you through that jungle of things. So this has led you into a lot of other businesses. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So one of the things that I learned from the coaching is to create a vision for what I want for my life. And I created that I wanted millions of dollars and I wanted to a life that looked like I was always on vacation. And I created the vision of all those details. And all of a sudden, somebody came to me and said, hey, let's start another business and bring all your savviness of how to get business, how to attract clients, and I'll do all the work. So now here I have the reverse, somebody asking me to come. So it was just really amazing. And that particular business became very successful right away. Within 8 months, we were making millions of dollars.
And what was that business? Can you share that with us?
Yes, it was counseling for injured workers, continuing to do that in a different capacity, and further training for injured workers. And that was the beginning of my trajectory on having multiple businesses. From there, I was able to invest in real estate. I was able to invest in opening a restaurant and other businesses as well, like investments into writing a book. And now I have nearly started 12 businesses that are very successful, including a very trendy sock line called Savvy Socks. I'm very proud of that one too.
Oh, I was just so impressed when I heard you speak at the seminar, because she just kept going on and on about all these amazing businesses that she had. So when you started out with that first business, did you have a coach that helped you figure out all the specifics?
No, my first business, it was just myself in the garage.
but when you went on and you decided to invest in the restaurants and things that were a little bit outside your comfort zone because you hadn't done them. I mean, because that's another thing people need to understand. We never grow unless we actually do something that is, you know, outside of what we're comfortable with. And obviously, these new adventures of yours were outside what you're comfortable with, right?
Yeah. So one of the rules I have is I run all my investments through my money manager.
Oh, I love that. Okay.
And they have the knowledge of what businesses tend to fail. You know, they know what to look for as far as financials to see whether I'm getting into the right industry and the right deal for me. So I've said no to most all of the deals that come to me, and the ones that my CPAs say, okay, this seems good, and that I feel are light and not heavy and not hard. That's what I do. That's what I invest.
And tell us what you mean by light. Like it feels right, right? Like it's the energy is good. Is that what you mean by that?
Exactly. I learned to trust my gut as well.
Oh, I love that. Trust your instinct.
Heavy, yeah. Anything that's heavy, I look at that and I wonder, is this something I'm lying to myself about? Is this real?
Tell me what the difference between light and heavy feels like inside.
Well, it feels ugly. You know, like
heavy feels ugly.
Yeah, like okay, so you know, butterflies when you're nervous. And then something ugly feels like your stomach is upset,
or like you're walking through mud. That's always kind of the metaphor I get when something pops up, and I know it's not right. It's like, you know, walking through mud. I love that. Light and heavy. I love those metaphors.
And I feel them in my gut. I don't feel them in my head. I know where it's at. It's in my gut. And so if it's light, I know that that's the truth. That's the right place to be. And if it's heavy, then that's not where I'm going to spend a lot of time.
Oh.
And I also use that for, like if I get into a disagreement with a family member and we're always inventing things, right? We always interpret what their actions mean. And if I feel like heavy about it, I ask myself, is this really what they mean, or am I inventing this? And I get to a place of lightness, because we invent everything, right?
What? Yeah, right, we do.
Yeah. So this is what I do. So I'll ask myself, okay, so am I inventing that she doesn't really care and she's ignoring me and I'm not that important? Am I inventing that? Or is she such an important person? She's very busy. She has 5 kids and wow, I'm feeling even lucky that I got on her calendar.
You know, it's perspective, right? It's just a different way, a different lens to put on there.
Yes. And so I work it through until it feels light. And then I choose that explanation versus the one I invented that doesn't serve me. Right. So we're always inventing things. Or I specifically just ask, like, what happened? You know, like, you know, what is going on? And then they'll tell you. You can sometimes they tell you when you still invent something else. It's like they told you literally what was going on and you invent a whole other story.
Well, we use our imagination all the time and we usually use it in a very negative way, right?
We live with the itty bitty shitty machine inside.
See, I knew I loved you when I heard you speak. I mean, we do. Why do we do that? Why do we do that, Hazel? I wonder why.
I don't know, but I know we all have it. I think it has actually, if I was to give you an educated answer to that, is our ego.
Ah.
And our ego is there to keep us safe.
But so it also keeps us down, right?
It totally keeps us down.
It keeps us down. And it wants to kind of probably keep other people down because, you know, I know you probably found this and I found this. When we change careers, when we decide to do something much bigger, our immediate circle goes, what the hell are you doing? You know, it scares them. They want you to be safe, right? They want you to stay where you are because they feel comfortable with that. So I think when we grow, you know, other people are kind of holding us back and they use their imagination on us saying, oh my God, they're going to crash and burn. Right. And I think our ego does that too, to some degree.
Yeah. Our family definitely does that. My mom told me to stop being ridiculous.
What? Ridiculously a millionaire.
Oh yeah. They're very proud now.
But right.
I was getting a master's degree to become a psychologist and she was nagging me the whole time and telling me to stop going to school and focus on raising my kids and focus on my marriage. And it was good advice for her wanting me to put the focus there. It's important. She didn't see that education was important. So she was telling me to drop out of school, that it was not necessary.
Well, and those people can only counsel from the level that they're on, right?
Yeah.
It's a higher perspective, and that's why coaches are so important, because they're higher up that mountain. They can see a bigger picture of the whole thing.
And they're not invested in you. They're not invested.
Yes.
Mom probably thought, you know, hey, you're spending too much time at school. I don't get to see you. So she's giving me that,
right,
based on that.
Right.
So
right.
She has something to lose or gain from what I'm doing. And so you definitely need to have a coach, a mentor, and other people in your life that you can, you know,
have a more objective viewpoint and have been there before and can help you get to that level on the whole thing. You know, and I love your take on light and heavy when you're making decisions. So let's talk about some of those decisions. Tell us about your book, because I love your book and I love whatever you trademarked about the miracle of mastery. What is it? I forget what it is.
Mastery of miracles.
Yeah. Uh-huh. To become a master of miracles. Oh, you guys, doesn't that sound amazing? To become a master of miracles. Woohoo. That's what I want to be.
Yeah. I wrote the book after helping so many people start over again after an injury at work. And a lot of people ask me, how did you do it? Because it doesn't just take education, really. It takes self-esteem. It takes so much more, right?
And it takes a belief, right? It takes a faith that it's going to happen. And we've never been taught that way in school. And somehow you learned it. You learned that tenacity and that connection.
Yeah. Well, I started
to source.
I tell people to celebrate their small wins. You have to evolve your mindset. And I totally get it. I deal with people all day long that cannot create a vision for themselves. They cannot imagine going back to school. They're not smart enough. They're not good enough. People are going to laugh at them. They're old. All these reasons, right? Because their self-esteem is not evolved. But the good news is that you can, right? You can evolve your self-esteem.
Yes, yes.
Even where you are, Paula, and where I am, we can still keep evolving, and we will.
Oh, absolutely. We're either expanding or contracting. We're never staying still. And people go, I'm fine where I'm at. Well, you're not, because you're either contracting or you're expanding. And Hazel, you've just done an amazing job on expanding. So tell us the name of your book.
My book is called From Bounce Checks to Private Jets.
I love that. I love that. I love that.
The story of miracles. And so people were always asking me, like, how are you on private jets? You grew up on welfare. You grew up where my friend grew up, and she doesn't live like you. And my life wasn't too different than yours, but right. I don't live like you either. What did you do? And then injured workers also want to know how to do it. They wanted to know. One time too, I started a nonprofit called Angels for Injured Workers, and we would give money to pay for disconnect notices for their light bill, the gas mm-hmm. bill, utility bills, right? Mm-hmm. One time a man asked me for $200 because he was homeless. And we don't send money to them. What we do is we pay the bills, right?
Oh, uh-huh.
But he was homeless, and we made an exception. So we sent him the $200. He called the following month and asked if I could send him another $200 and if I could send him $200 a month. Because that's what he needed. And I felt disappointed that my nonprofit wasn't really helping people.
Uh-huh. Because so we're not changing their mindset, right?
I'm not changing their mindset. I'm just giving them the fish versus
right.
teaching them
yes.
how to.
Yes, right.
And that's where I got that I needed to write this book and share my story of how I evolved from a broke and poverty mindset to mastering miracle mindset. And that's what I wrote the book about. So many people are settling when they can have it all. They settle in their finances, in their relationships, in their lifestyle, and how they live every single day of their lives. And that's why I thought that the book would be such a great idea to write. And it's been number one bestselling for 2 years now, which is pretty amazing.
Oh, I love it. And they can get it on Amazon, I'm assuming, probably at all the bookstores.
Yes. And it's a quick read. People tell me that they can't stop reading after the first page.
Well, I'm getting it as soon as we got off the call, because I love books and I love your story. And here's what I think is such, here's your miracles, here's your miraculous, is that you had to go through what you went through so you could have the story to tell, so you could help other people through this. And at the time you go, well, this is a shitty life, right? But oh my God, you are such a blessing when you connect the dots. I just want to thank you for going through everything you did, because you have such an amazing story to tell. People that have gone through that know if you went through that, they can go through that. And the fact that you've stepped up and told that story, it's such a service for everyone.
Thank you. Yes. When I was going through it, I would ask God, like, why am I being challenged in this way?
Right.
And I would even tell my mom, like, why did you choose this guy to be my dad? I was like, why? Like, well, you know, why is all of this happening to me?
But Hazel, there was something that got you through. There was something that says, I'm going to take another step. I'm at least optimistic. Where do you think that comes from? Because there are other people that grew up in your neighborhood that haven't risen to the level that you are. Not that they can't. Every single person can. Do you think there was one thing that was something that was always in the back of your head, or a turning point that made you realize this?
When I tell people that ask me the same question that you asked me, mm-hmm. and they also say things like, well, if you did it, everybody else could do it, and shame on them for not doing it. And in reality, I'm like, you know what? Not everybody had mentors in their lives. People came into my life that paid attention to me, that made me feel like I mattered, and were holding me accountable to what they saw in me, my potential. Not everybody has that. I had an uncle in my life that guided me. And then I had my first job. I had a judge who was asking me what I was going to do after I graduated from high school. I told her, I'm not even graduating from high school. And she found that to be unacceptable. And she guided me and told me the value of education. And then after that, when I finished high school, she helped me get my first job at a law firm. She gave me a letter of recommendation and she reached out and talked to them to hire me. So I had very important people in my life. And my second boss was an attorney and he helped me to get through school, you know, upper education. Every step of the way, I had mentors.
And, you know, I'm sure at the time they did not know how important they were to you. And I think we all can take that as a lesson. We can all be mentors, right, to people that are in our lives and give them the support. And I think that's a good lesson, Hazel, that was so important. And at the time, they may not have had any idea how important it was, but such a stepping stone, a stepping ladder for you to get to that next level.
You know, Paula, all of us can be somebody's angel.
Yes. Oh, I love that.
I call those mentors my angels in my life.
Aww.
And sometimes I felt like they were pushy, but angels can be pushy.
That's okay. And we have to get to that next level. And if you think you're in a situation where you can't be a mentor, that's not correct. You mm-hmm. can tell your next door neighbor what a good job they've done on something. I mean, The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Wattles. I don't know if you ever read that, but it's leaving everyone with the impression of increase. No matter who you meet, you can always leave them a little bit better than you found them. And that can be a mentor for just a minute. You have no idea what that could do for other people.
Exactly. I even had an uncle who would greet us by calling us gorgeous.
Oh.
And you couldn't help but feel gorgeous, you know, when you're around him. And, okay. And then that, you know, goes with you everywhere you go.
I know. So when I was little, I was not gorgeous. I was heavy and I had big cat rim glasses. And my dad would always say, well, you're going to be Miss America.
Oh.
But I'm telling you, I remember that. And just small things like that. Everybody, that makes such a difference in our lives. And right now, this is exactly what we need, is that we can be kind and loving and be mentors on even a small basis. Well, I think that will change the world. Don't you, Hazel?
Most definitely. It does. It takes a village to make this happen.
Yeah, and it does. And we've got the universe behind us. So we just need to be taking those steps, one step in front of another. Yeah. If you could leave us, and we don't have much time, and I would love to have you back if I could, but if you could leave us with one thought as far as to tell people how to traverse that, like your journey was, to go from having nothing to multi-million-dollar businesses and just such an amazing person. I mean, people on the radio don't see her, but she just glows and she's amazing, and she'll be on my YouTube channel. But anyway, what could you tell us?
I would say that one of the things that changed my life completely was creating a vision for the future. So I used to live Groundhog Day over and over again.
Oh my God. Yes. I use that metaphor all the time. Yes.
Okay. Because I didn't have a vision for my future. So tomorrow was going to look just the same as mm-hmm. today. And there's no reason why it would look any other way. But when I created a vision of what I wanted my life to look like 5 years from now, then I started acting different. It gave me how I behave today. So if I wanted millions of dollars, I could start to learn about how to handle all those millions when they come. You know, it doesn't cost me anything to read about it.
I love that.
Learn from millionaires. Yeah. And
we have to become the person first that we want to be, and then it will come to us.
Yeah. So you could become it in your own mind.
Right.
Okay? Not literally, because
right.
I want people not to dream, because you could be like, well, I'm not that smart. I'm not healthy. I'm not in a good relationship right now. Why would I dream that I'm going to have the love of my life if I'm not in a good marriage right now? But with miracles, anything can happen. Even a bad relationship can change. If you have faith in miracles, faith that can happen, create the vision of that. Before you know it, you are in that relationship. I was fist fighting with my sisters when I created the vision of being with them, like if we were in heaven, what would that look like?
Aww.
It was beautiful, a beautiful vision that really only because I created it in the future was I able to even fathom it.
To think it was possible, right? Because once you think it's possible, you can start taking different choices. You make different choices in the present moment if you think it's possible.
Yeah. So you'll start believing it's possible once you create that future.
Yes.
And I know Paula, I don't know if you know, but I have a free visioning exercise, and it's the exact exercise that I use in order to create my future. And it's on my website, themasteryofmiracles.com. You download that. It's free. It even has a worksheet and instructions on how to do it. That's the very first and most important step.
Oh, my God. I love it. All right. Say that again so all my people can do that. Tell us again how to do that.
Themasteryofmiracles.com. Go straight there. It's a default to a place where you enter your email, and this gets emailed to you. And it's a sort of like a meditation where I guide you in my own voice, in English or Spanish.
Either one, good.
To create the best version of your life in the future. And then that will give you that first insight into what's possible for you. Even if you're stuck and you can't create it, I start you exactly where I was when I was living that Groundhog Day. So my life is completely different right now because of that exercise. So I highly recommend it.
Please I am so pleased that I found you, and I'm so honored that you agreed to be on my show, because you have such an amazing message to give out. So again, it's Hazel Ortega, and it's, tell us again your website.
TheMasteryOfMiracles.com.
And you can also find her at HazelOrtega.com, because I found you there.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
So reach out to her if you have any questions. And Hazel, thank you so much. And I am so happy that I found you and that you are on and giving this information to everyone. We need this right now in our environment. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Paula.
And we will be right back. And we are back. I love Hazel. She is definitely really high on my list of guests that I've ever interviewed. I love her energy. I love her story. And I love the fact that she is out there telling her story and helping other people. So she gave you a couple of wonderful ideas on what to do in your life, her website, and the download for your pre-vision. Great place to start. She also talked a lot about mentoring and coaching, how that has got her to the next level. A lot of us love the idea of law of attraction. A lot of us love the idea of reading books. But I'm going to tell you from my own viewpoint, as well as Hazel did, until you make a decision to invest in yourself and find a mentor, find a coach who's going to help you get to that next level, we pretty much all stay stuck. And we are in Groundhog Day. It may be a nice Groundhog Day, but we are not growing, because we don't know what we don't know, and we need someone to lead us down that path. So I would encourage everyone out there to find a mentor or coach. I would encourage everyone out there to find someone that has walked this walk. And I would just like to offer to you that I have done that, and I am offering a free 5-day training in the next couple of weeks. If you go to Your Success Formula, which is a Facebook group, just sign up. You're invited. Just sign up and you will get more information about that. Because my passion is to mentor you and to coach you to the very best possible highest life you can be. And I'm good. And I've done it. And that's what I came for. And it took me years to find this out. And I would like to be able to help you get there much quicker. Also go to my website, which is lawyerofattraction.com or paulakidcasey.com. And there is a free 7-day fun little email thing that you get from me. So that would be fun. It's called The Magic of Intention, and it is fun. So go to that. My book is on Amazon, The Lawyer and the Law of Attraction. It is a quick and fun read, and it's a good way to start. It gives you some ideas. All of those are great ideas for you to take your life to the next level. Because that is what I feel like I am called to do. I'm called to encourage everyone to live their highest life, their biggest life, their most joyous, happy life, because it is available. We need to know it's available, and we need to learn how to focus on it. I am so thrilled I get the opportunity to be here and to share these ideas with you. And just know everything is going to be fine. And as Ram Dass always says, we are just walking each other home. And I'm very honored to be on this journey with you. And so, until next time, this is Paula Kidd Casey, and I am the Lawyer of Attraction.
Thank you for joining Paula Kidd Casey on Lawyer of Attraction Radio Show. For more information about Paula programs and her book, please visit www.lawyerofattraction.com. Until next week, may you experience the magic of manifesting genuine abundance.